Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
In 14, this message titled Contempt. We're complete. We look at God's word, we look at God's law, we look at truth, and it's two questions we ask ourselves. We look at truth, we look at the boundary scripturally as something that we see with contempt. Do we see the word as something that holds back being the best, right? That God's best, the good life, the fun? Do we see that as the hindering force and go, you know what, man, if I didn't know what God's word says, I'd go out and do X. So if your mindset is that, or you say that even thinking it subconsciously, then what you're doing is seeing the truth is a limiting factor to your fulfillment. By the way, if you think it, you might as well say it because it's already in your heart. Share it with a brother or sister in Christ that is in your accountability group, but most likely if you're thinking that, you don't have much accountability, so get some. And tell someone, get honest, like I shared this morning about a brother in Christ many years ago who did that, and you can get freedom in that because transparency and honesty breeds victory, breeds deliverance, breeds lots of really good things. But if you remain in a place of seeing God's word as a hindering force that you look at with contempt, either knowingly or unknowingly, consciously or subconsciously, you're not going to end up in victory, you're going to end up in bondage. Or, tonight, you see the restraining walls of God's word as something that completes you. Why? Because you understand that it does not hold anything back from you. As a matter of fact, the only thing it holds back is things that will hurt you, things that will bring pain, things that will bring heartache, things that will bring brokenness not only to you, but to your children, to your spouse, to your family, your church body, your community. I hope you found Proverbs 13, verses 13 and 14. If you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence tonight for the reading of God's word. The one who has contempt for instruction will pay the penalty. The one who respects a command will be rewarded. A wise man's instruction is a fountain of life, turning people away from the snares of death. Father, thank you again tonight for your word, for truth, the gospel, but above all for Jesus, Lord, the blood that was shed, the life that was laid down on our behalf, God, and that tonight the resurrection shows the victory over hell and death, Lord, swallowed up in victory. I pray, Lord, that your word would speak mightily, that it would go forth in power. You would accomplish tonight what it was sent to accomplish. Hide me behind the cross. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The one who has contempt for instruction will pay the penalty. I'll stop there. Man, that's rich. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That is rich. Somebody shared with me earlier today that their dad had told them not to engage a clutch on a tractor too aggressively when they were, how old, Aaron? Sorry. How old, brother? About 11 years old. It was an old John Deere, old A model. Had the hand clutch and, well, you know, you're tattering hay and a young man's got to relieve himself and then get back in the tractor, but only with the thought of, I wonder what'll happen if you do it. Sorry, brother, I didn't get clearance, but I know he's okay with it. To which he aggressively put it into gear for the manifestation of the power of the tricycled front-end tractor to relieve itself of gravity and bring itself in the air as he popped a wheelie. See, he had a contempt for instruction. I don't think there's, he's still, amen. I don't think there's anybody in here that one point or another we've not had a contempt for instruction. Now, I don't think that was an overt contempt of instruction, but you know what? That's just the nature of a young person. This is what's bad, though. I know adults that have a contempt for instruction. We're watching in our culture right now people that say, no one's going to tell me what to do. I will be the Lord of my universe. I will be the one in charge. No one will tell me what to do. I've watched a number of GoPro videos of people on motorcycles in recent history in the last year. And there was one I watched, I guess, last, I don't know what it was, but I think I was mixing the eggs up this morning. And this boy got as high as 274 kilometers an hour. You can do the math on that real quickly. But as I was watching him do this, I had a sick feeling inside because I had a feeling that it wasn't going to end well. It actually was talking, the title of it said, The Effects of Your Actions. So he's going somewhat in and out of traffic. And at one point, he slows down to what is the equivalent of around 100 miles an hour, not realizing that there was a car stopped in the road. And it was about dark. And the last thing you see is a catastrophic collision that this person was involved in. And then it did an epilogue, a typed epilogue in there, that these cars that he had so recklessly passed and endangered these people had medical personnel in some form in them, and they revived this young man, only for him to spend the next 2 months in a coma. He suffered from an extreme TBI, traumatic brain injury. He is in a PVS, persistent vegetative state. He has two caregivers with him 24 hours a day, and he has the absolute complete lack of life, basically. And it was saying that the effects of your actions can be so far-reaching and affect so many people. See, when I often think about that, I think about the parents. This is their child. This is someone that they had hopes and they had dreams for, that they shared instruction in the hopes of protecting them from things like this. There's times that you don't mean for that to happen, and it happens. I remember watching one. He's a pilot in Antarctica. His mother allowed the video to be released, and she talked about it before they showed the video. He flew in Antarctica. He flew the researchers. A really neat guy. Had a really good career. He'd always wanted to fly, and he was doing that, and he loved motorcycles. And they'd gone to a rally, and they'd been at the rally all day long, and of course, the young man has a GoPro on, and he gets on his motorcycle, and he just pulls out. It's just a normal ride, you know. He's going down the road, and the only issue was he's going really, really fast. He's going 100 and I think it's 4 or 9 miles an hour. And this one was just trying to help cars understand that you got to pay attention for motorcycles. And this car turns, and this boy hits the car, and he dies. You hear him die. And that mother is broken all these years later, but she wanted this to be a lesson to people to pay attention. Pay attention to not only the instruction of the road, but also those people out there that you don't know that are coming. And even though his speed was excessive, you know, he had a light on, and this person just did not pay attention, didn't see. Instructions there to protect you. It's not there to harm you. I don't know a parent here that goes outside and lays out the boundaries for the day's activities with their children because they have nothing better to do. Okay, kids, I'm going to go outside with you because I have nothing better to do, and I'm going to unfurl a momentous level of boundaries for you because I don't have anything better to do. No. You do it in the hopes that your instruction will protect them. I might have been Sunday school when I shared, or might have been the service, I don't know, I'll share it again if it wasn't. But I had a friend in elementary school. His name, I'll never forget his name. John, I knew his middle name, John Dale Headley. He was approximately 7 years or 8 years old. And he lived in my neighborhood. He lived one street over. And it was John's birthday. And John had gotten a birthday present from his parents. Well, John had the luxury of having his grandparents live across the street. Now, we lived on in a neighborhood where the speed limit was only 30 miles an hour, so it's not that fast. But John opens his present and in great excitement wants to go and show his grandparents the present he had just gotten. And John ran out of the house and he went into the street and he was killed. I'll never forget it. I looked like him, and it was a very uncomfortable situation when I was around his mother, because she would come up and she'd rub my hair and tell me how much I looked like John. But Mom was suffering big time. Mom suffered for years after that. The instructions that I know Mom had given time and time again was what? Always look both ways. You look, 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 you walk. Why does Mom and Dad say that? Well, they've got problems. I don't know why in the world they worry about that. It's no big deal. No, they care about you. God forbid I ever lay one of my children in the ground because I was a fool and did not instruct my children. If it be the case, I pray it's for their lack of listening and obedience to the instruction versus my inability to effectively instruct them. Amen? I hope that I stand there with my hands washed. I saw something this week. It was a boater in Texas. It happened recently. It happened on July 2nd, I believe it was. It's a really pretty boat, beautiful boat, nice, like a ski type, fishing ski, big time, big long boat with two big motors on the back. And it looked like they were probably doing about 60 miles an hour. And they hit, it was about this high from the water to the land. It was concrete. Man, they put a V in that concrete, went up it. Needless to say, there was a fatality. Loss of life. Now, if you're a boater, you just don't go running through unknown waters at 60-plus possible miles an hour at night. I'm sorry, you just don't do that. It's a lack of listening to instruction. Guys, you go to Papa Top, and you go spend your nights at Papa Top. No believer has any business being in Papa Top. But if you go do that, and you show up at your home in the shape you're going to be in after being in that place for an hour or two or 15 minutes for that matter, don't come crying to me when Mama says, I'm done. Why? Because instruction says a man of God needs to be at home with his family. A man of God needs to be focused on his first ministry. That's his family. Man of God don't need to be running the streets at night. I'm sorry, nowhere. He needs to be at home with his family. See, wisdom and instruction tells us about that because there's many dangers are out there. I say the same to a woman. You got no business running the streets at night. No family person has any business running the streets at night because, listen, let me tell you what, nothing good happens after dark. That's why I go to bed so early. But really, honestly, when I was a police officer, you know what happened when it got dark? The radio lit up and there was trouble. There was trouble. You know, the majority of alcohol-related fatalities and accidents happen at night. You know, the vast majority of people who are operating a vehicle after dark are intoxicated on any and every given night. The statistical analysis on it. Instruction tells you, if you have a reason that you have to be out, that's one thing. But a man or woman of God should not treat the ministry of home with contempt. God's word and the contempt for that instruction, what does it say? We will pay a penalty. What is a penalty? We're not the ones that determine that. We're not the ones that determine it. Are you going to wait until everything falls to pieces and ashes in your life to prove me wrong? I think he's just too serious about it. I don't know why he gets so worked up about this stuff. Come on. I tell you what, we have short memories. And it's really easy for us to fall victim to having a contempt for instruction. What am I, a child? We all are, spiritually, really. We all are when it comes to everything, because we have to be continually reminded, and I am learning this so much, it's not funny. This day and age, we have to be repetitively reminded about the simple truths of Scripture. All of us. We've got to be continually reminded about how important it is to be in God's Word, because even the most faithful of brothers and sisters in Christ who have immersed themselves in God's Word, within a moment can find themselves having themselves abdicated the responsibility to be in God's Word. And even knowing or unknowingly, inadvertently, having forsaken the instruction of the importance and being in God's Word. See, let me tell you what, tonight, in the first part of 13 there, this is what I want to share with you. Instruction is a wall of safety. You can use the same thing, wisdom. Instruction is a wall of safety. You think about ramparts. What does it do? It keeps them from being able to take a battering ram with the wheels on it and run it up against the city walls so that they're not breached. All of those protective boundaries of a city all throughout history had an important role. It was to prevent someone from breaking through the walls, the protective walls of a city, of a fortress. There's the same spiritual concept for us tonight. What does instruction do? It's the building of walls. God's Word is ramparts. It's moats. It's all of these various things that God gives us to protect us from the attacks of the enemy. Every single one of them important. None of them inconsequential or small. In that second part of 13, but the one who respects a command will be rewarded. We do good on a reward system, don't we? Understanding. Okay, don't just tell me not to do that. Give me an understanding about why something. I like to know how things work. Anybody else? I like to understand how things work. Okay, good. The one who has contempt for instruction pays the penalty. I understand that. But the one who respects the command will be rewarded. Oh, okay. That's how we get to the place of residing in the midst of God's blessing. Hey, that's all you had to tell me. I want God's favor on my life. I want God's blessing on my life. I want God to reward me. Now, I'm not even talking about, oh, man, Lord, let me open up my money bags and just let her rip. I'm going to tell you one of the rewards that I love more than anything. It's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that guards my heart in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you that right there. I will sit outside and live in a tent in peace. I'll burn a pallet of money to reside in that place of peace. Because I want to tell you, money is a wicked taskmaster. I know it for a fact. I know it for certain. I know it from experience. Money is a wicked taskmaster. It sure is. Second thing I want to share with you is that God rewards wisdom but allows pain for those who reject it. Why do we know that? We know that because in the human realm, we call it, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. We know that, right? Those of you who've ever had any basic science, physical science, understand that. Kinetic energy. Those people that are doing 150 miles an hour on a motorcycle and running the back of a car, 60 miles an hour for that matter. Where is the kinetic energy displaced, absorbed? In the softest thing, aka the human. Spiritual concept. God's blessing, when we listen to him, he respects a command. Every action is equal opposite reaction. When we live a blessable life, you're blessed. When we live in rebellion, we feel pain. You want to watch Stephen King's It? Okay, go for it. Yeah, when you wake up in the middle of the night in a terror, when you are unleashing the demonic forces that that filth brings into your home, I would encourage every one of you to do something, by the way. Go into your kids' bedrooms, and you find any of that filth in their bedroom, you have you a big old barbecue. You know why? You'll excuse a demonic activity from your home. Oh, Brother Jonathan, that's a stretch. You go and stretch it all you want to. I challenge you to find in God's Word how a follower of Jesus Christ should watch that and subject their family to that filth. I'm serious. You want to watch a transforming work of God happen in your home? You excuse Satan from your home. Show me how some filth of laying people wide open from stern to stem is going to glorify Christ. Tell me. I challenge anybody to stand up here and tell me how you've grown spiritually by watching that filth. I'm serious. I say that because instruction is a wall of safety. I know firsthand what it does because I was one who lived it. To God be the glory, He delivered me from it. And my wife will attest to how fast it takes me to fall asleep at night, and it used to take me a very long time. Matter of fact, I'm snoring before she gets in the bed. If we lay down at the same time, she hadn't got her phone out to check Facebook, and I can promise you one thing, I built the first story of a log cabin. But what I'm saying by that is saying that the peace of God is what allows me to have sweet sleep. And there was a time in my life that it was fleeting from me. Why? Because the enemy had a right to torment me at the time that I needed peace and rest. And he will if you allow him to. He wants to take captive your thoughts and your minds. He wants to program you with things that you don't need to be seeing. And he wants to program our children with things. He wants to take captive the realms of our minds to demonic places. He wants to have things happening when you and I go to sleep in the subconscious realm that will not glorify Christ. God rewards that wisdom, the biblical wisdom of setting those affections on what He desires and wants us to, but also there's pain when we believe that we can dwell in both light and darkness. It can't happen. I'm sorry, but it cannot. Verse 14, a wise man's instruction is a fountain of life, turning people away from the snares of death. Give me motivation for what I'm saying to you tonight. Find a motivation that is anything other than wanting you to be in a blessed position and a blessed place. Find, I challenge you. I challenge you to prove that I preach out of a legalistic context tonight. You will not find it. You will find that tonight I share this out of a desire to see you blessed, to see your children set free from bondage, from the lies of Hollywood and their desire to undermine everything that you and I stand for and everything that we represent. You're looking at one that used to compromise to the hilt and then some. I had compromise on steroids. What happened was when I struggled so hard to even be able to pray without such filth entering my mind that I'd watched on TV, the violence that I had so desired to watch and thrived off of, when God showed me that I was getting out exactly what I was putting in, that was when I said, Lord, I'm letting it go. I got to sit down and spend some time with a couple today. You ready for the extent? This couple's been married a long time. They are much my senior. Can anybody guess how long they've had a TV? If you know it, don't say it. But anybody else want to guess how long they've had a TV? They had one for a period of time. 1 week. They traded it for a bicycle. No joke, they still don't have one. But they actually thanked me today for mentioning how important it is to guard our homes from filth. I said it really resonated with them. And I told them, I said, I hope that didn't come across as legalistic, because I don't ever want to be a person that or wrongly presents something so that in any way you will believe that God is going to love you more if you do X. Because I want you to know that's not true. What I'm talking about is, where do you want your spiritual walk with Christ to be? What do you want your home to be? Do you want it to be a carbon copy of the world, of your lost neighbors, your lost family members, your friends? Or do you want the picture of your life to be set apart? Do you want people to go, listen, I don't know anything about you. I've been seeing you. We've talked a few times, but there's something that is different about you, and would you please share with me what's different about you? That's my question, is it? That you. Not that you're a freak. I'm talking about, does the world, do people see a distinguishing difference in you? And then I say, if not, this is my question to you tonight, why not? If you're a man of God and you are not showing and manifesting godly leadership tonight, I'll just tell you, shame on you. And I say the same to myself. You know why? There's a famine of godly, God-led, God-loving leadership in this nation, in this county, and we have to step up and be godly men of character and integrity that lead like that. What does that leadership look like? The greatest good of your wives and your families. Ready? First. Not second, not third. Every decision that you make is for the greatest good and the protection of your family to your own detriment. Not fun. There's one thing I'll tell you right now. Leadership is never fun. If it is, you're not a leader. Because being a leader, you have to make decisions sometimes that put you in the crosshairs of the people you love most. Because leadership is making decisions and having to stand firm sometimes when at the moment you will be all alone. But I'll tell you what happens when you do godly leadership. Down the road, they see that and they come back and say, listen, I didn't understand what was going on at that time, and I didn't recognize what you saw. And you know what you'll hear, and I've heard it before, and I praise God for it. Sorry for not trusting that. Thank you for leading. Thank you for caring about the family when it was painful to make the decision you made. You know where I get that from? I get it from God's word. Because it comes out of wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world. It's not the wisdom of the ages. It's the wisdom of truth. It's the wisdom of protecting your wife. Protecting your children. It's standing firm to guard them. That's our first ministry. To guard them not only physically but spiritually. Because my question is, who is going to guard them, men, if you don't? You treat instruction with contempt, or in that instruction, do you find completeness? It's easy to go with the flow. Don't think I know, and I'm telling you, sometimes the weight of responsibility and leadership for me beckons to say, hey, just go with the flow for a little bit. Just sit back and just let things go. Just let happen what happens and just call, it's okay. Do you know why I don't yield to that? And by God's grace, won't. Because I know the trap of what it is. I know it is. Because it was the first step in the demise of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it starts with the letter A, apathy. What is apathy? Apathy is this. Yeah, I know. I need to be at work tomorrow, and I got a lot to do, and they're relying on me, but, oh, you know that Bible verse where it says, you know, we got a lot to do, it's already late in the day, let's wait till tomorrow. I got so much to do that I'm going to buy the old statement, why do today what we can put off till tomorrow? You know, I've worked so hard at work and I deserve a break. I'm not going to fellowship at church, you know, because I only have 15 minutes to get to church and, you know, I'd be much better served if I just stayed home tonight and we had church at home. You know, I got so many things I need to do at the house that, you know, I'll just call in sick and I'll take off a few days sick and I'll get caught up, and it goes in so many different forms. By the way, when you call in sick, you do nothing but sit around the house and do nothing. And you don't get anything done. Because what apathy does, it brings you to that place of, you know, whatever. And complacent. You become indifferent. It's when, this is no truth, right? You know what? If I get tired of it, I'm just going to go down there to the post office and I'm going to grab a box of mail and I'm going to walk out the door and I'm just going to start walking down the road until they arrest me. Why? Anybody know why? I hope y'all are smart enough to know what I'm telling you. It's federal. Why would I do that? Federal time's good time. Take that from somebody who is a police officer. Don't you ever get arrested and put in a state penitentiary. You'll be sorry. You better listen to what I'm telling you. If you ever get foolish, you better not get arrested and put in a state penitentiary. You'll be sorry. Why was I saying that? Because sometimes, even with myself, when I get worn out, I go, you know what? They take care of my back. I could get all kind of degrees. I could just chill out for the next, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20, whatever. That's what apathy, indifference, and unconcern says. They'll take care of me. I won't have to worry about keeping insurance anymore or doing anything. You get your own cell in the federal penitentiary, for crying out loud. You get the best of everything. See, that's that mindset that we have to be careful of all the time. Apathy, indifference, and unconcern. Because what it does is take us from a place of blessing to putting us in the crosshairs of God's judgment. And see, God rewards wisdom. Not the wisdom of the ages, as we talked about. But it's the wisdom of His Word. And when we reject, though, that wisdom, it allows pain for those who reject it. Pain. Anybody in here say, you know what? I need a little more pain. I don't believe anybody in here would do that. And if you do, please let me know, because I will get you to a doctor. You've got problems. But no one I've ever heard of says, you know, I want some more pain. No, everybody that I know is actually spiritually trying to stay in a place of obedience to run from spiritual pain. And then verse 14, and we the rest of that and finish. Wise men instructions, the fountain of life, turning people away from the snares of death. Third and final thing, wisdom protects us from the trap of sin that brings death. Again, there's no wisdom but God's wisdom. The same way is knowing, if you're a motorcycle rider, I don't think we have many that ride here anymore, but listen, after about November, beginning of November, you don't come down Highway 130 at 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle. I don't care what kind you have. Why? Deer. Deer will kill you. They don't shoot. They just get in front of you for whatever reason. They just love to get in front of vehicles. That's your normal wisdom of the world, right? Your spiritual wisdom says, what guys earlier? You don't go mess around at Papa Top. You don't go run around Nashville at nighttime and leave your family at home. Why? Because again, a man of God has no business hanging out in that arena. A man of God is involved deeply in that wisdom and ministry of his home, the wisdom that protects us from that trap of sin that brings death. Now, by the way, the spiritual death is not coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We are born spiritually dead, right? If you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, we can make some bad decisions. Maybe we'll come back around and get right, get things straightened out, but who is affected by our choices, decisions? Our children. Anybody in here want to play around with the Lord and show your child by your demonstration that you serve God how you want to? It ain't no big deal. Do you realize by the lack of spiritual consistency in your lifetime, whether you realize it or not, you are manifesting spiritual apathy to them. We serve God how and when we want to. We don't pray here at the house. We just do that when we're with other families so they can see that. Oh, we talk about the Lord when other families are there. That's something we don't do in our family. By the way, I'm being cynical. I'm just helping you understand what people do. I'm not saying this is what we do. We want to honor the Lord. You want to glorify the Lord. You want the words of your mouth and meditations of your heart to be pleasing and acceptable in His sight. Oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, our rock. By the way, do you know that disciplining your children is an act of worship? Put that in your pipe. Do you know that? Do you realize that discipline of your children is an act of worship? And that right there is hardcore, but it's true. What you are doing is saying, God, I care about these gifts and I trust that you are trustworthy. And I am lifting up a sacrifice because I don't know any parents that enjoy disciplining their kids. If I do, we're going to have some issues. But you do it because you know that the rod of correction is life. And when you don't, the Bible actually says that you contribute to their death. Hence, wise man's instruction is a fountain of life, turning people away from the snare of death. What is a snare? Trap. You know what a snare is? It's a rope. And it hangs down. And when you get caught in a snare, it releases the energy that the stick has in it, and it chokes the prey. Again, a wise man's instruction is that fountain of life, turning people away from the snare of death. Every single day, we are faced with snares of death. Wisdom prevents us from falling victim to those. And it's a continual process to remain spiritually in that place where we see those. Because by the way, the more apathetic, the more indifferent, the more unconcerned we become, the less we see them, the harder they become to see. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Anybody know the more tired you become behind the wheel of a car, do you realize that in short order, you are more impaired than a drunk driver? Do you know that when you drive extremely tired? Documented evidence. What? Yes. It's danger. Same thing with spiritual apathy. It brings you to that same place of danger that we have to continually be on alert for. That's why the Bible talks about us being sober-minded, alert, vigilant. For what? The adversary. The adversary is what? The enemy. What is his objective? Destruction. What is his MO? Any and everything. He'll use any and everything to bring us to a place where he can exploit our weaknesses. That's why I tell you, there is no place ever for a man of God to lay down his responsibilities, to be apathetic, indifferent, or unconcerned. Do whatever you have. Go home tonight, take your TV, your cable box, and anything that is hindering your ability to be that man of God tonight, and I would encourage you to do what I think they did in the movie many years ago, Poltergeist. They threw everything out on the front lawn. I can't believe I just remembered that from a movie that I watched when I was a little boy at a friend's house, not my parents. You want to talk about an exorcism, that's what would have happened if Judy and Tom had known what I saw when I was a young boy. But I'll never forget, as a little boy at my friend's house, seeing that the family took the TV and threw it on the front lawn, if I'm correct, in the middle of the night. Go home and do it. Have an exorcism in your home before Hollywood turns your children into something that reviles you. Don't think it can't happen. We're watching right now a systemic, concerted effort to undermine everything that we represent as followers of Christ. Do not think that your child is immune to it if you stick them in front of there and believe for a moment that that will not infect and affect your children. Let the instruction of God's word, you make sure that you set up ramparts in your family, men of God, women of the Lord. You stay in God's word. You stay committed. You stay so rooted and also desperately aware that it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that you'll ever be able to be what God needs and fully be able to protect your family. It relies and is completely rooted in God and God alone. But I know one thing. God will reward you if you seek to honor him and to protect your children's hearts and minds. God will do what you and I could not do in 1,000 years, because what he will see that you and I don't realize is this: the heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.